it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reach people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, and we've got a ton of stuff to answer, don't we, Sugar?
We do. So let's get right into it. Dear Mr. and Mrs. McGee.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's us.
I have been a listener of y'all's podcast for a few months now. My mother listens to your videos and sermons all the time. We love the ones on how to think and money. I am in a very new godly relationship with a godly woman. We often talk about marriage, and we both have an understanding that the only reason we are dating is to see if we want to spend the rest of our lives together. So, question, how long is too long to date, and how short is too short before getting engaged? Are there things to look for before engagement? If so, what are they? I've heard that if a couple has been dating for more than a year, that could be a red flag. On the flip side, there are some couples who only dated for 3 months before the proposal. My church is doing a 21-day fast at the start of the year, and I have brought up the idea to my girlfriend that we might try fasting from kissing. Is that a sound idea? I got the idea from Corinthians, where Paul talks about how married couples should only fast from sex for a short time so that they may devote time to prayer. We are waiting till marriage, so I thought maybe kissing would be our version of that verse. What are y'all's thoughts? I look forward to hearing about it. Very respectfully, your brother in Christ.
That's a great question.
There's a lot of good questions in this. Well, let's start at the beginning. How long is too long to date, and how short is too short?
Well, our years of travel, we met people that the shortest was somebody dated for 6 weeks, and they got married and still married, been married for almost 30 years. We met somebody that's been dating almost 8 years, got married, and they're still married. So it works on both ends, and it can be bad on both ends. There's certain things you're looking for in a spouse. So number one, you know, you're a church going born again believer. You read your Bible on a regular basis. I mean, you're a Christian or not, because if you're not, that's going to be a major problem, because the Bible warns, Paul warned about being hooked up with unbelievers. Now, if you are hooked up to an unbeliever, there's a way to make that work also. So let's just stay in the beginning of this question. Like, there is no perfect time. What you're looking for are certain things. Number one, are you a believer? Number two, how do you handle money? I'm going to look for a bank account. The boys that married into my family, bring my daughters, I want you to bring your last 12 months of canceled checks. I want to know how you spend your money, because your job is to financially take care of my daughter. Can you do that? Can you take care of yourself? Are you living in a dump? Are you driving something that barely held together? Well, you don't need to get married. You need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Bible's take heed to yourself first, then to somebody else. You're not even taking care of you yet. So if you're taking care of you, if you're in church, those are the two biggest things. Everything else is sort of a blending for the rest of your life. Do you have any comments, my sugar?
Well, I don't think there's any particular time set.
Nope.
You know, I mean, I think if you feel peace about it, if, like Joe said, if
that would you're be the third biggest thing. How do you feel about it?
If you're in agreement with that.
Yeah.
Do you know if you both want to have children? You're never going to answer all the questions.
There'd be probably 10. I'd say there's a top 10. Is your mother going to come live with us? Have I got to support your brother? have you got kids I don't know about? I've been married 6 times before. There's just basic questions that in today's world you have to ask.
Have you filed bankruptcy?
Have you filed bankruptcy? Are you in debt? Do you owe anybody? Do you owe the government?
Which all of those things can change if somebody decides to change their life.
Yes.
That isn't the scarlet letter by any means.
But are you working on it?
Yes.
And are you truthful? Because liars go to hell. If you're going to get married to somebody, you got to be just, I used to say, you got to be buck naked in the middle of the interstate. You can't have anything you're hiding or holding back or holding on to. And I've told couples, you know, because today we have multiple marriages. You know, I've been married 2 or 3 times. Somebody said, I said, well, don't ever bring up your past. There's nothing you can do about your past. You don't have a time machine. You can't change your past. Focus on your future with your new spouse. Quit digging up graveyards. So that would be a big one.
That is. And then on the fasting and prayer thing, look, you're never going to go wrong with that. I heard a guy say a long time ago, you know, it's not that God hears you any better. It's that you're saying, God, I'm serious about this.
I'm listening better. I'm I'm listening, yeah. My God.
And so I don't think it would be bad to do that ever. I mean, one time I went on a 7-day fast for, because I got in trouble with a car. I bought a car and it was a bad car and I wanted to get rid of it. I was a brand new adult and one of my big first purchases and it was terrible. And I went on a 7-day fast and miraculously God got me out of that.
God does show up. He does.
But so you can't go wrong with that.
No.
But here's the thing. If you're having, if you both, sounds like you're getting along since yep. you're kissing and you're going to church and you're doing the right things.
Sounds good to me.
Seems like you're going in the right direction.
Yes.
So as far as pulling the trigger, just when it seems
there
right.
There is no magic wand. There is no Tinkerbell. Three angels aren't going to show up in your bedroom and sing you a song. God's leaving that choice up to you. You decide. Do you want to get married or not? So there's no burning bush going to happen. You know, so it's just up to you. Do you want to get married? Yes. No. Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, because really love is a choice.
It is every day.
And
every
so day. If you choose to love that person and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, you got peace, man, I'd go for it.
Come on.
All right. Okay, here's one that I understand very clearly because it says this. I've been living in the South for a short time. I'm originally from the East Coast and we have a different way of communicating.
Ooh.
Some have seen my form of communicating as honest and they know they can trust me because I share my real thoughts. Others may see it as rude and opinionated.
Yes.
What can I do to better communicate in this new environment? Well, that is a great question.
And, it is.
And I'm from Georgia, born and raised. And my dear friend is from New Jersey. And she's got a little edge on her.
And they're still friends, been friends for years.
Yes, we are very, very good friends. But she does have a little edge on her. And so, you know, sometimes I didn't understand it completely until I saw a movie about people from New Jersey. And then I went, oh, okay, I gotcha. I gotcha. Now, in the South, we can have an edge, too. Yeah. We just do it like this. You are so ugly. We say it and it sounds nice, but it is mean and cuts to the core. So
I always say, bless your heart. That means you're stupid and I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. No, don't ever say that. Don't say that. But anyway.
Bible says be quick to hear and slow to speak. We taught on communication, one of the things in our marriage seminar, on the 5 lessons on communication. You got 2 ears and 1 mouth. You don't need to share everything you're thinking. You share too much. You're not a news commentator, or radio.
No matter where you're from.
Yeah, no matter where you're from. Keep your mouth shut. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. All else comes from the evil one. The more you talk, the more hell you're going to stir up. I promise you. So just learn to answer questions. Be nice about
yeah.
it. Somebody ask your opinion, tell them. Be truthful. That's really good. It's a great trait. But yeah. don't share too much.
Yep. And, just keep developing that love walk. But it is different when you're in the South. I moved from Georgia and Florida to Washington State.
Whoa.
And it was a very different experience for
it's
me.
It's another country.
It was another country, but great. And I loved it.
Beautiful.
But it was, I had a lot to learn. And so I do understand it. It's different. Different. Every state is like a different culture.
Yeah. The best thing you can do to get you a Bible and a concordance, just look up some scriptures about the mouth and the tongue. Most all of them in Proverbs about being slow to speak, quick to hear. Basically learn to keep your mouth shut. You know, I tell people in marriage seminars, like, all hell in your marriage came through your mouth. Didn't come through your relatives. Didn't come from work. Didn't come next door. Didn't come from your cousins. It came through your mouth. Hell gets permission in your marriage through your mouth. Life and death. And the power of the tongue. So don't share everything. Somebody has to be truthful, be honest. Please don't share your whole mind. Hey, I'd like to share something. Please don't do that. We don't want to hear you share. Now, if you're going to quote some scripture, give some wisdom, that's fine. Outside that, it's just going to create a mess.
Yes. And we both know that because we've done it ourselves.
Yes, we have. We're veterans. We've got stripes somewhere else.
Okay. Joe, did you want to talk about this?
Lift that up one more time. Oh, yeah. Okay. How do I address this? We get several questions that are related to this. but people don't seem to understand. God never plays it safe. He doesn't know what that means. From Genesis to Revelation, God was looking for somebody that would step out and believe him. And once you believe him, he can give you something bigger to believe for. Then once you believe that, he'll give you something bigger to believe for. Like David, he picked David as the next king. David's a runt. He's a sheep herder from a big family. And so the prophet says, listen, I'm through with Saul. He's not going to be king anymore. He's sin, and he's not it. I've got a new king picked out. He's in the house of Jesse. So the prophet goes to the house of Jesse, knocks on the door. Jesse opens the door, said, hey, I am the prophet of God. I'm here to anoint your son, the next king of Israel. And Jesse says, well, which one? I've got a house full. And he said, well, God didn't say anything about that, the prophet said. So get him out here. So the dad gets all the boys, oldest to youngest, lines up seven boys right there in front of him. And the prophet's looking and thinking, God, which one is it? Well, God's not saying anything. So the prophet knows, if I don't get this right, I get stoned to death by sundown. So he starts, it must be the eldest. It's usually a great leader. So he gets ready to pour the oil over his head to anoint him as the next king of Israel. Right before he does, God said, that's not him. You know, well, that was close, God. So he goes to the second born is usually more aggressive than the firstborn in most families. So the prophet starts to pour the oil over him, and God said, that's not him. Oh, God, that's close. So he gets all these no's right in a row, and he's thinking, sun's going to go down. I'm going to get stoned to death. God, did I miss it? And so he asked Jesse, do you have any more sons? And the Bible says, Jesse said, yes. We don't let him in the house. He smells like sheep. Now, sheep, you've been around, they smell
bad.
And so they got the Bible says the ruddy-complected runt of the family comes in. And God says to the prophet, that's him. And the prophet says, you got to be kidding. No, you're seeing him from the outside. I see his heart. He's my next king. Soak him. So the prophet poured the oil over his head that's run down his face. Says, you're our next king. God help us. So that's in one translation. But David was the king. So what happened? David goes back out. The family hates his guts. Nobody likes him now. They didn't like him before. Now they already like him. So the Bible says David's out there and he's watching his dad's sheep. And so a lion came up to kill the sheep one night. We had to take his sling and kill the lion. God, I hope I don't have to do that again. God said, well, that's the last line. Don't worry about that. One that week later, a bear comes up, tries to kill the sheep. David kills the bear. And he said, man, I hope I don't have to do that again. God said, no, that's the last bear. Then he takes some cheese sandwiches. His brothers are in the army now fighting with Saul. He takes the cheese sandwiches over, and they're just standing on two little banks of land looking down at each other. And he says, what's going on? He said, well, we won't fight. And they won't fight. Why? Because they got this big 10-foot, 2-inch, 6-fingered giant, Goliath, standing in the valley down there saying, send somebody down to fight me. Well, Saul won't go. Nobody will go. He's a big, ugly guy. And David says, well, I'll fight him. And you know the story. David goes down, kills the giant with a stone, takes his head off, and takes it home, sits it on the dresser, I guess. And so by that night, women all over the country are singing. Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000. Now, the point of the story is, whoever you are, when you serve God, whatever you get accomplished, the next thing you have to do is going to be bigger. Whatever you're believing God for, the next thing will be bigger. In human life, we're trying to retire. We're trying to not work, not have to do anything, try to relax. That's not God. From Genesis to Revelation, there is no relaxing. There's no sitting down. We're headed to glory. We're trying to take as many people with us as we can. So we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. So there is no sitting down. We're trying to find the next big mountain to conquer, the next big thing to do. And that's how God is. He's always trying to do something bigger and better. There's no relaxing. It's called heaven.
Okay, so I have a question. What does ruddy complected mean? Does that mean he had zits?
No, he's just rough. He's been out there in the sand and the dirt and the wind, and he doesn't bathe every day. There's no bathtub.
Oh, okay.
Probably gets a drink every now and then, washes it off his face, but he smells. His armpits stink. There's no right guard. There's no underarm. There's no cologne. There's no Irish soap.
Okay.
You're skanky.
Okay.
Because you're out skanky sheets. What's that? I think David just came in the door. Woo! They can't put that in the movie. You can't smell in the movie. What was that? Well, that's the next king of it. That's who you smell.
Okay. Well, listen, hey, thank you so much for joining us this Monday. And we appreciate you anytime that you share with us. We appreciate it. We love you very much.
Listen, you don't know anything if you don't ask questions. You have to ask to grow. You won't grow if you don't start asking questions. So don't let pride get locked in your heart. ask. It won't bother anybody. Ask.
Yes. And thank you, partners, for helping us. We had a fantastic year last year. And we're believing that this one's going to be even better for your family and for ours.
Yes.
We love you guys. God bless. Have a great week.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.